In India, the world's second most populous country, where 27 million babies are born each year, family planning is a national priority. For decades, the government has tried to convince Indians to use birth control, and at times has resorted to coercive sterilization. But in the conservative Hindi states of the north, where 40% of the population lives, birth rates remain among the highest in the world. The Indian government invited the U.S. Agency for International Development to help redesign its family planning program in the northern state of Uttar Pradesh. In the final segment of our series, Searching for Solutions, producers Cecilia Weissman and Nancy Postero travel to Uttar Pradesh, and they have this report narrated by Weissman.
The story of India's population is not, as you might expect, in huge cities like Delhi, Bombay, or Calcutta, but here, in the countryside, where 3 out of 4 Indians live. Driving east of the capital, through fields of yellow mustard flowers, we arrive in Uttar Pradesh, or UP as it is called, a state so populous that it would rank 7th if it were a country. Life here remains much as it was hundreds of years ago. Women in flowing cotton saris balance ceramic water jugs on their heads. And at nearly every village, temples rise above the rooftops of mud huts. It is here, in a land where Hindu traditions remain strong, that the government population program has stalled. At the end of a dusty road, we arrive at a small cement health post, one of the thousands set up by the government to bring family planning to rural India. Dozens of village women squat in the shade of a spreading mango tree, waiting their turn to go inside. Today, the clinic is holding what's known as a sterilization camp.
This is pre-operative section.
Dr. P. Garg, the physician in charge, works with a team of midwives who travel through nearby villages trying to convince people to use birth control. He leads us to the end of an unlit, dank hallway where a woman lies on an inclined bed with her sari pulled up over her head.
Come and see. Operation is going on there.
Inside the operating room, a young doctor, Usha Lal, gives a patient a local anesthetic. Then she makes a small cut in the patient's abdomen, fits a ring around her fallopian tubes, and tosses the instruments into a filthy sink. Dr. Garg explains that the Indian Family Planning Program does offer other forms of birth control, from condoms to IUDs to pills. But he says sterilization is the method most women use.
The main aim of the national program is just to reduce our birth rate. We have to control the birth rate. The birth rate can be controlled by this method.
The women who come to the clinic are offered incentives to get sterilized. They've each been paid 140 rupees, the equivalent of several days' wages. And the doctors also have an incentive. The government in New Delhi sets targets which Dr. Garg and his colleagues have to meet each year.
After 2 children, we advise her to undergo this operation.
How long does it take to do an operation?
How long? It takes only 2-3 minutes.
On some days, Dr. Lal performs 100 sterilizations a day, and she admits she cuts corners.
Like hemoglobin, it should not be less than 10, but she had 8 grams.
The woman she just operated on was dangerously anemic, but Dr. Lal went ahead with the operation anyway. For 40 years, India's family planning program has been fueled by a sense of urgency. In the 1970s, the government of Indira Gandhi went too far and forced hundreds of thousands of men and women to be sterilized against their will. The outcry against these abuses contributed to the downfall of Gandhi's government and the end of the forced sterilization campaign. But today, the program still emphasizes sterilization. And this, says Shanti Connolly, a researcher at Population Action International, is one reason why the government's program has had so little success in places like UP.
It's not an explicit government policy. In fact, the government policy calls for women to have choices among contraceptive methods. But in the implementation of the program, there's a tremendous bias towards sterilization. It's reinforced by many different aspects of the program, the way the targets are set, the way health workers are evaluated and rewarded, the attitudes of medical personnel. These things are not easy to change. And what it translates to is a hard sell on sterilization at the clinic level.
Shanti Connolly says young women usually want reversible rather than permanent methods of birth control. So most of the women who get sterilized are older and already have 5 or 6 children, which means that this method has a limited effect on population growth. Moreover, says Connolly, many Indian women simply don't trust the government program because of the history of forced sterilization and because the services are so bad.
I think the overriding problems in the program, though, are one of choices for women and of the quality of services. The government has not done a good job of making the whole array of modern contraceptive technology available. They don't have enough contraceptive supplies. In rural areas, there are problems with supplies of pills and condoms. So the whole picture adds up to the fact that the program does not provide what family planning experts call a balanced cafeteria of methods where a woman can choose among several different methods.
So here in Uttar Pradesh, India's most populous state, after decades of government efforts, only 3 out of 10 couples use birth control, and the population has doubled in the last 20 years. Officials in New Delhi now say they are committed to revamping the nation's family planning program. In UP, a major project funded by the U.S. Agency for International Development, AID, is being launched.
More than anything else, there has to be a commitment to change.
As head of health and nutrition at AID in India, John Dumb helped design the $325 million project for UP, AID's biggest family planning program ever. The goal, Dumb says, is to bring India into the modern era.
The Indian family planning program is a model that was developed in the 1950s, and they never changed, okay? They never evolved according to international experience and what worked and what didn't work. And I think they can. You know?
That experience, says Dumb, shows that if you can just make sure every couple in UP has access to good services and as wide a range of contraceptive choices as possible, the birth rate will come down.
The first couple years of our program in UP is going to be spent just filling existing demand. And that state has been so starved for any kind of real attention to quality, to building morale of the people who are providing services, that I am convinced that with a very few inputs, we're going to find a tremendous reaction.
But this supply-side approach to family planning is controversial. Some population experts say the evidence shows birth rates won't come down without tackling other issues first, like improving the economy and bringing down infant mortality. Only then will women and men want smaller families and demand contraceptives. But Dumb says the demand is there. And AID has already proven in Bangladesh that their supply-side approach can work.
In Bangladesh, the economic situation is just as poor as it is in UP. And yet, through the power of providing high-quality services, the prevalence of contraceptive use in Bangladesh now is about twice of what it is in UP.
So AID plans to retrain doctors and nurses, clean up hospitals, and build well-equipped clinics in the farthest corners of the state. But just making all this available, Dumb says, isn't enough. People will have to be persuaded to use the services. The Indian government's media campaigns promoting small families for the good of India haven't worked. So AID plans to bring in Western marketing know-how.
I can act as your interpreter.
Okay, that sounds fine.
At an outdoor bazaar, Dr. Rita Lavelle, a consultant for USAID, is going from shop to shop. AID wants to get the marketing of birth control out of government hands, so it's trying to convince more private companies to get involved. As she wanders past hawkers selling betel nuts, fragrant spices, and hand-rolled cigarettes, Lavelle is finding out what AID's marketing strategy is up against. So social customs here make it hard to sell birth control products openly.
This is all their condoms?
Yes,
and
these
I take
are all
it
the condoms.
They're keeping them. Why have they got them way back there?
The shopkeeper has the condoms hidden under the counter. A crowd of men gathers around Lavelle.
Only because they never see ladies talking about condom here.
The next outlet over, do they sell it or not?
No, he's not selling.
Can we ask why?
Yes, we can find.
Oh, yes. It's worth asking why.
अच्छा इसका कोई खास कारण है या वैसे ही? She runs this shop
and she,
being a lady, she's not ready to sell her own.
She's not interested. She didn't say, give any further reason for it. Just she's not stocking it, and that's that.
Lavelle says what family planning here needs is a little more Madison Avenue and less stodgy government publicity. Once the redesigned ad campaigns are in place, she says, people will stop being embarrassed by contraceptives and start buying them. And she hopes marketing will convince more Indian men to use birth control.
We've got to get away from preaching to people and telling them you should do this sort of thing for your own good, and rather going back and asking them what it is that appeals to them about a particular product or method. And for many men, it's an image of virility, or an image of being macho, or as one guy told me, he said Rambo, you know, Rambo image. So that is the, I mean, that's what attracts them. That's what sells.
AID's marketing strategy assumes that people will buy what they see advertised. But in the remote villages of UP, where birth rates are highest, most people don't have televisions or radios or the money to buy condoms or pills. What's more, some critics say this campaign doesn't take into account the complexities of Indian village culture. In the small village of Baseda, a Hindi woman kneels before a coke fire at dusk. A gauzy veil covers her face. She blows through a tube, coaxing the fire, and adds another dung patty as fuel. A member of the Brahmin caste, Kamlesh is rarely allowed to leave her house. She says she didn't go to school and doesn't know how to read or write. As is the custom, Kamlesh lives with her husband's family and spends her days cooking and cleaning. Her veil, she says, is a sign of her respect.
Whatever my father-in-law says, that is the law in the house. He is the eldest, so his word should be listened to. I have the least to say.
Kamlesh has four children. That's enough, she says. Her husband doesn't use condoms, but he's given her permission to take birth control pills since the last baby.
I want to get sterilized. I already have three daughters and one son, but the family all says I should have one more son before I get the operation.
In India, sons live with their parents after they marry and are the only source of support for their old age. And sons have an even deeper meaning for Hindus. Only sons can perform sacred funeral rites for their parents. Without a son, you can't reach heaven. And since so many babies die, families want extra sons to make sure one will survive.
I'm convinced that a family planning program whose only aim is bringing down the fertility rate, it cannot work.
Feminist writer Madhu Kishwar is one of a number of skeptics who warn that AID's supply-side approach to family planning is flawed. She says that trying to bring down the birth rate simply by making contraceptives and services available ignores the reason why people have so many children in the first place. In fact, many family planning experts say that the preference for sons and the low status of women in India are the most powerful obstacles to bringing down birth rates. Cultural barriers that AID is sidestepping. And then Kishwar says AID is ignoring the huge social and economic factors.
India has among the highest infant mortality rates in the world. You cannot, I'm convinced, you cannot bring down the birth rate without bringing down the death rate of kids. And that can happen only when you take the problem of malnutrition, of poverty, and of lack of healthcare services very, very seriously. And your agenda is to improve the quality of life of people. That has to be your first and foremost priority.
You don't have to look too far, Kishwar says, to find proof that educating women leads to smaller families. In the southern Indian state of Kerala, a socialist state government made health and education a priority, especially for women. And the birth rates fell dramatically. John Dumb agrees that improving living standards and raising women's status are worthy goals. But he argues AID can't do everything at once.
We don't have enough money to educate all the women in UP and also improve the quality of their family planning services. We simply don't. Okay? So if we try to do both of those things, we'll do them both badly instead of doing one very well.
The AID project gets into full gear later this year. Soon, the first batch of Indian doctors will fly to the United States for training, and Indian bureaucrats are already learning how to manage population statistics with state-of-the-art computer models. John Dumb is optimistic that birth rates will come down. The goal, he says, is to double contraceptive use in UP in the next 10 years. But as we leave his office, we can't help remembering the Brahmin woman kneeling at her cook fire and the centuries of traditions that may ultimately limit her choices. With Nancy Postero, I'm Cecilia Weissman reporting.